Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. And for those that will be listening later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this October 12th. No, sorry. October 5th. Just a minute, dear ones. We are going to have a new chapter. Just a minute, dear ones. Just give me 5 minutes. I took the wrong one.
Did you bring up next week's? Okay.
Thank you for being here with us, dear ones. I apologize. I was in the project, but the last slide. Now I had to bring it to the first one. I apologize. Welcome and have a blessing to all the precious family in the room. For those that will be listening later in the recording, it was a little mistake, dear ones. Forgive me. This is our Sabbath, October 5th, 2024, of our lesson 419. This is our review section of chapter 81 entitled The Lord is Risen, Part 5. Welcome, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us with the tiny thought hymn entitled I'd Rather Have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of red. rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world provides today. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are going to ask the little tiny talk by the help of their parents or elder sibling to open the review section with prayer. May you please unmute your mic to do so, dear friends.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. We will take the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor and do all thy work. And the Sabbath day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect me and my mommy and my daddy. Oh, and we detect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. I'm just going to pray. And sorry, dear ones.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little sis. Now we are going to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household, their mommy and daddies, or their in family or in school. I will turn the mic to our dear sister to share.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. This picture is from what I was speaking about last week as to maybe 2 weeks ago, about my granddaughter and how helpful she is becoming and at times surprises us with. And she started washing dishes by herself without anyone prompting her to do so. And I have observed on many different occasions that she loves to help. But this was a new height where she just took it upon herself to wash the dishes. And that's it.
Amen. Is there any other family of the room? And then we'll be able to share what their little one has been at home. May you unmute your mic. We will proceed, dear ones. It's story times, dear ones. Let's have a listening ear for our dear brother who we'll share our chapter 21 entitled Before Herod of the story book, The Story About Jesus.
The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 23. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. For a long time, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He was just curious. Then he questioned him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. They shouted. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him. They mistreated him and made fun of him because, well, I guess that's the way they treated prisoners. And arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Herod had never met Jesus, but he had long desired to see him. and to witness his marvelous power. As the Savior was brought before him, the rabble surged and pressed about, some crying one and some another, like a riot. Herod commanded silence, and the soldiers enforced it, for he wished to question the prisoner. He looked with curiosity and pity upon the pale face of Christ. He saw there the marks of deep wisdom and purity. He was satisfied, as Pilate had been, that malice and envy alone had caused the Jews to accuse the Savior. Herod urged Christ to perform one of his wondrous miracles before him. He promised to release him if he would do so. By his direction, crippled and deformed persons were brought in, and he commanded Jesus to heal them. But the Savior stood before Herod as one who neither saw nor heard. He wasn't there to gratify curiosity. The Son of God had taken upon himself man's nature. He must do as man must do in similar circumstances. Therefore, he would not work a miracle to gratify curiosity or to save himself from the pain and humiliation that man must endure when placed in a similar position. His accusers were terrified when Herod demanded that of Christ a miracle. Of all things they dreaded most, an exhibition of his divine power. Such a manifestation would be a death blow to their plans and would perhaps cost them their lives. Because if Jesus had performed a miracle in front of Herod, the lies of the priests and the Pharisees that he was an imposter might have brought down on them the sentence that they wanted brought down on Jesus. So they set up the cry that Jesus worked miracles through the power given him by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Several years before this, Herod had listened to the teachings of John the Baptist. He had been deeply impressed, but he had not forsaken his life of intemperance and sin. So his heart grew harder. And at last, in a drunken revel party, he had commanded that John should be slain or killed to please the wicked Herodias, his new wife that he'd taken from his brother. This was taken from The Story of Jesus, pages 129 and 130. By Ellen White.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of a study entitled Before Herod in a Tiny Thought Lesson Book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, October the 12th. Now we are going to do the review for the story, and I'll hand it back to our dear brother.
All right. Why did Herod desire or want to see Jesus?
Answer 1, to witness his marvelous power.
That's right. He just wanted to see him do a miracle for him. But Jesus didn't do it. What happened when Herod demanded a miracle of Jesus?
Number 2, his accusers were terrified.
Yes, the people that claimed he was an imposter said, oh, good grief, if he performs a miracle, that makes us look bad. That terrified them. Like Jesus, who was sent to Herod several years before?
Answer is number 3, John the Baptist.
Yes, John the Baptist. He had gone to Herod and said, "It's not right for you to take your brother's wife. You need to stop this." And Herod's wife, who he'd taken from his brother, said, "I'm going to get even with that John the Baptist." And one day they had a party, and Herod and his friends got under the influence of alcohol and made a foolish promise that he would give the daughter of Herodias anything she asked for. She says, "Mom, what should I ask for?" She said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head." And that's how John the Baptist came to his end on this earth. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Well, dear ones, this is the review section of our TikTok for parents and little ones to be able to hear about the lessons in creation. Our topic, Mommies of the Bible Review. Let's have a listening ears, dear one, for our dear brother Josh Bible Review.
It says pussy.
Sad blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning the mammals. Our Bible verses for our lesson book is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're continuing quarter 4, lesson 4, a sermon. And verses 6 and 7 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall thirst." We'll be reviewing in lesson 2 from last week, Deer of Bible Land. And our memory verse for the whole lesson is Psalms 149:4. "The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." And the character quality of the story is self-control versus self-indulgence. Self-control is control of one's emotions, desires, or actions by one's own will, or being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And be reviewing through the from the Bible before the lesson about the deer. "Blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5:6. "The sense of unworthiness will lead the heart to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and this desire will not be disappointed. Those who make room in their hearts for Jesus will realize his love. All who long to bear the likeness of the character of God shall be satisfied. The Holy Spirit never leaves unassisted the soul who is looking unto Jesus. He takes of the things of Christ and shows them unto him. If the eye is kept fixed on Christ, the work of the Spirit ceases not until the soul is conformed to his image. The pure element of love will expand the soul, giving it a capacity for higher attainments, for an increased knowledge of heavenly things, so that it will not rest short of the fullness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The Desire of Ages, page 302. "There are many to whom life is a painful struggle. They feel their deficiencies and are miserable in believing. They think they have nothing for which to be grateful. Kind words, looks of sympathy, expressions of appreciation would be to many a struggle and lonely one as the cup of cold water to a thirsty soul. A word of sympathy, an act of kindness, will lift burdens that rest heavily upon weary shoulders. and every word or deed of unselfish kindness is an expression of the love of Christ for lost humanity. The thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 23. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, Matthew 5:7. The heart of man is by nature cold and dark and unloving. Everyone manifests the spirit of mercy and forgiveness. He does it not of himself, but through the influence of the divine spirit moving upon his heart. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Thoughts of the Mount, from the Mount of Blessing, pages 21 to 22. The merciful are those who manifest compassion to the poor, the suffering, and the oppressed. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 22. Below says, blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5, 6 to 7. And it says in these boxes that assist is in the rectangle on the top. The deer family are very noble mammals. The highest evidence of nobility in a Christian is self-control. In the middle rectangle, it says Jesus teaches is blessed are the poor in spirit, those that mourn, and the meek. This means self-control. And below says, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:5. What can we learn from our nature of appearance, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. And it says, at times, some of the sun's colors become scattered. We see only the main colors, and the sunlight appears colored. For example, when the sun is high in the sky, some of the blue light rays are scattered in the Earth's atmosphere. At such times, the sky looks blue, and the sun appears to be yellow. At sunrise or sunset, the sun is near the horizon, and the light must follow a longer path through the Earth's atmosphere. As a result, more of the blue and green rays are scattered in the atmosphere, and the sun looks red. Through the equator, the sun looks bright green or blue for a moment as it slides below the horizon. This green-blue flash occurs because the red rays of light are hidden below the horizon and the blue rays are scattered in the atmosphere. It says it is above the third of that paragraph. These rainbow colors blend to form white light, and so sunlight is white. Read Matthew 17:2, and below the, both the picture and the readings says, the stars in heaven are under God's control. He fills them with light. He guides and directs their movements. If he did not, they would become fallen stars. Gospel Workers 14. And this one will be looking at some of the lessons from the water book concerning the creek from their dear Cecil family. He took photos of nature, look, brooks, creeks, streams, and rivers. In the Bible, rivers are symbols of blessings. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. Isaiah 41:17-18. And below itself, the definition of what a creek is. A creek is a small stream of water, usually larger than a brook, but smaller than a river. Creeks, streams, and brooks are just as important as the larger rivers. The a deep river that offers a highway for the traffic and travel of nations is valued as a worldwide benefit. But what are the little rills that help to form this noble stream? Were it not for them, the river would disappear. upon them its very existence depends. So men called to lead in some great work are honored as if its success were due to them alone. But that success requires the faithful cooperations of humbler workers, almost without number, workers of whom the world knows nothing. Task uncommended, labor without recognition is the lot of most of the world's toilers. And such a lot, many are filled with discontent. They feel that life is wasted. But the little rill that makes its noiseless way through grove and meadow, bearing healthy and fertility and beauty, is as useful in its way as the broad river. And in contributing to the river's life, it helps achieve that which alone could never have accomplished. And finally, from Brother Joel S., this photo of Lake Erie, we learn more about the lake, what lake is. The word lake comes from a Greek word meaning pole or pond. A lake is a body of water surrounded by land. It is made by rain, streams, and in other ways. Building dams can make a lake, or many times water collects in an old crater forming a lake. Some lakes dry up because of a change of weather. A volcano or earthquake may change the area and cause the lake to disappear. A lake is a place for animals and plants to live. It can be used for irrigation by farmers and has many other uses also. All things in heaven and earth declare that the great law of life is a law of service. Lake and ocean, river, water spring, each takes to give. Education, page 103. The simplest lake may also reflect pictures of what is around it, so the simplest mind may reflect the beauty of Jesus' character. Next are the flowers in Sister Christina's garden, or near the house, actually. These are the member of the family that those flowers are in. Nature, composite family, or composite. What are composites? The flower head of each composite is made up of many tiny flowers patched closely together. Though tiny, God made these flowers perfect in form and color. He knows how to help us with little daily duties and can make them fragrant with love. A day full of such loving deeds would be like a composite flower. Usually the inner flowers, called disc flowers, have very small petals. The outer flowers in the head are called ray flowers. Daisies, asters, and sunflowers belong to the composite family. They are many, 20,000 species of flowers that belong to the composite family. Do you remember which family Balaam belonged to and which family Israel belonged to? Which family had integrity and which did not? Do you know the answer by that? Each family has many members. That composite flowers have many tiny flowers or members patched together into which one large flower or family. Next is other pictures of the moon, and here's lessons concerning the moon. The moon's silvery luster reminds us that the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 12:6. The moon then, as it appears to look calmly down to us, is a promise of the guidance of God through his word during times of darkness and perplexity. The light of the world will exist in a glorified state throughout eternity. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:16-18. It will be such a privilege to meet others in heaven who have overcome and deny itself. The moon shining with a greater luster forever is a beautiful symbol of how people who deny themselves reflecting the light of the world will exist in a glorified state throughout eternity. The spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:16-18. It will be such a privilege to meet others in heaven who have overcome and denied self. The brightness with which the moon and the redeemed will shine will be as nothing in comparison to the source of their light. The moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancient and gloriously, Isaiah 24:3. The power of the sun's brightness. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun, Psalm 74:16. No substance can be exposed to the sun's rays without undergoing a chemical change. A sunbeam is one of the most powerful of all the agencies in nature. Magical as it is, it breaks up the strongest chemical affinities. It is the author of color, and it is the creator of a myriad of combinations, which all tend to the harmony of a world. Nor ought we to forget the moral influence of light. We are all aware of the sensible difference produced in our moral natures by a fine day or a dark day. Light gives zest and tone to the spirit. Light gives buoyancy and joy to the soul. Light crowds are the chambers of the mind with ideas. But it says, it's about this picture of a rooster calling on the sun and the sun rising past the horizon of these mountains and reflection on that lake. Light is order and it separates as darkness and light pair off into their separate ranks of night and day. And below the picture it says darkness and then light. Next, it's reviewing our lessons concerning in the potatoes and other vegetables. Sister Cece's garden. Spiritual lesson is nature. What is a vegetable? A vegetable is any of the fruits that come from leaves, roots, seeds, stems, and other parts of some plants. These are used for food by people. Vegetables are used as part of a healthy diet. From them, you receive vitamins like niacin, riboflavin, thiamine, and vitamins A and C, and minerals like calcium and iron. The potato is the most well-known tuber used as food nearly everywhere in the world. It is a perennial plant with compound leaves. The leaves are said to be poisonous. The flowers are purple, star-shaped, and large. The roots grow roundish, fleshy tubers, which are the edible potato. These vegetables are tucked away out of sight until needed for food. Then they are brought up into the light out of their soil bed to see which has fully been developed. Likewise, it was not clear who the true alert virgins were until the bridegroom came. Then they were brought out into the open for all to see who was wise and who was foolish. Potatoes are recommended for the treatment of scurvy, acid in the stomach, stomach ulcers, arthritis, gout, and more. The juice of raw potatoes is used for these diseases in doses of 3 cups a day. Raw grated potatoes can be used externally on light burns, itching, etc. As potatoes are helpful in a physical crisis, so the oil was needful for the virgins when a crisis came. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from Box from the Mount of Blessing, Chapter 2, The Beatitude. Oh. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. The righteousness is holiness, likeness to God, and God is love. 1 John 4:16. Give conformity to the law of God, for all thy commandments are righteous. Psalm 119:172. And love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:10. Righteousness is love. Love is the light and the life of God. The righteousness of God is embodied in Christ. We receive righteousness by receiving Him. Mount Blessings, page 18, paragraph 1. Nope, not by painful struggles or wearisome toil, not by gift or sacrifice is righteousness obtained, but it is freely given to every soul who hungers and thirsts to receive it. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the fathers. Ye that have no money, come ye, buy and eat, without money and without price. The righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And this is his name whereby he shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. Isaiah 55:1, 54:17, 23:6. Jeremiah 23:6. Blessing, page 18, paragraph 2. No human agent can supply that which will satisfy the hunger and thirst of a soul. But Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Revelation 3:20, John 6:35. My blessing, page 18, in paragraph 3. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew 5:7. The heart of man is by nature cold and dark and unloving. Whenever one manifests a spirit of mercy and forgiveness, he does it not of himself, but through the influence of the divine spirit moving upon his heart. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19, RB. Blessing, page 21, paragraph 3. God is himself the source of all mercy. His name is merciful and gracious. Exodus 23:4-6. He does not treat us according to our debt. He does not ask if we are worthy of his love, but he pours upon us the riches of his love to make us worthy. He is not vindictive. He seeks not to punish, but to redeem. In the severity which he manifests through his providences is manifest. For the salvation of the wayward. He yearns with intense desire to relieve the woes of men and to apply his balsam to their wounds. It is true that God will by no means clear the guilty, Exodus 34:7, but he would take away the guilt, Malachi 22:1. The merciful are partakers of the divine nature, and in them the compassionate love of God finds expression. All whose hearts are in sympathy with the heart of infinite love will seek to reclaim and not to condemn. Christ dwelling in the soul is a spring that never runs dry. Where he abides, there will be an overflowing of beneficence. Blessing, page 22, paragraph 2. To the appeal of the erring, the tempted, the wretched victims of want and sin, the Christian does not ask, are they worthy? But how? Oh, can I benefit them? In the most wretched, the most debased, he sees souls whom Christ died to save and for whom God has given to his children the ministry of reconciliation. Now, Blessings, page 22, paragraph 3. The merciful are those who manifest compassion to the door, to the poor, the suffering, and the oppressed. Job declares, I deliver the poor that cry, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. Job 29:12-6. My blessings, page 22, paragraph 4. And here are 3 bonus questions. Our first one is explain Matthew 5:6. The answer is in Desire of Ages, page 302. Question 2 is, what does it mean to be merciful? The answer is in the Mao Blessings, pages 21-23. And finally, question number 3 is, how does Matthew 5:6-7 remind you about self-control? And I'll turn the mic back to Mom then.
Welcome and Sava blessing to all the precious family that are joining us. I remember, little ones, just as I am, without one plea, God, thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Jesus Saved. You can find it in number 340. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steep and cross the waves, onward till the Lord command. Jesus saved, Jesus saved.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Sing ye island of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and on his life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing us up with through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing the triumph of over the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear ones. We are going to ask the siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests that would like to open our family meeting of our review with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. We forget the way that we're going to be learning. Please be so good at hearing the people that's not here while they're coming back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, little ones. Our opening scripture for our review section of our lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section God's Love in the book 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 with margin.
What manner of love? 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I guess we're practicing it twice. What have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Welcome to all the precious family. We are going to take a few minutes to reread last Sabbath, which is part one of our part five of our study, The Lord is Risen, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. We are Desire of Ages, page 787. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Continuing, to the believer, death is but a small matter. Christ speaks of it as if it were a little moment. If a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. He shall never taste of death. To the Christian, death is but a sleep, a moment of silence and darkness. Next slide, please. That's the way how I do. Continuing, the life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. John 8:51, verse 52. Colossians 3:4. The Desire of Ages, page 787, paragraph 1. Next slide, please. Continuing, the voice that cried from the cross, it is finished, was heard among the dead, among the dead. It pierced the walls, the sepulchres, and summoned the sleepers of arise.
To arise. Thus will it be when the voice of Christ shall be heard from heaven.
Heaven. Like, please.
Continuing, that voice will
penetrate
the graves and umber.
Umbar.
The tombs.
Tombs.
And the dead in Christ shall arise at the service. Savior's resurrection. A few graves were opened, but at his second coming, all the precious dead shall hear his voice and shall come forth to glorious immortal life. Next slide, please.
And we'll bubble down and
continuing. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise his church and glorify it with him. Above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in the world to come. Desire of Ages, page 787, paragraph 2.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Before we hear all the answers or anything you would like to share, dear ones, we'll consider for our review 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, and it's a scripture song. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready your ways to give an answer to every man. That as you are reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We have reserved the sixth question from our first section of part 5. I will read it out for our dear brethren that are not able to see the screen. And if you're moved to be able to share, dear ones, for the edification of all our dear little ones and family, you may do so by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who's the main character or characters? The second one is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And our last one, what do you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type your lessons in the room, dear ones. If not, you can use your mic to share. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Number 1, the main character is Christ and the righteous dead.
The answer to the question to what is the main idea for this section, our story? I think the main section would be what, about Christ risen from the dead, that his sacrifice is free the righteous dead from their graves, and that they're now are free to be living once more without seeing death ever again.
Number three is from the tomb. So number four begins when Christ dies, and then we see that he is risen. I mean, he raises the righteous dead.
What I could relate to the story is that if Jesus hadn't died for us, then all of us was sort of both living and would still be doomed to death and be there to stay there. And as for those that died already, they wouldn't. There is no way they could ever see life again or see God. Then we'd be doomed. Forever cease to exist. So by Christ's death and his resurrection, that's how all of us will be saved, both of this life and the life. And the life that is to come, where death will be nothing but a thing in the past.
So something that I noticed in the study was that when Christ died, when he said it is finished, it says that, and I'm not quoting right because I'm not seeing the slide, but it said that the dead in Christ heard, like they heard his voice and they were awaking in that moment. I never saw that before. So, yeah, that's something that I learned, but also, that we are also experiencing death and risen, like in the form of when we were baptized, we also are dead in to the flesh. We should be died to or dead to the flesh and risen with Christ and living his life. So that's one level. And also we look forward that if we do die, we pray that we are among the precious dead, and that we are risen and that we hear his voice in the first resurrection.
What I learned from the story is I learned that after Christ resurrection, all those who believed in God and who loved him were now brought to life once more. And this is just the tip of the iceberg for those who are living in after that event taking place for everyone, both from the last few centuries to today, that if we keep on doing, obeying Christ, following his laws, and doing what he would have done, that we too would be rescued from destruction, both spiritually and physically.
Thank you, dear ones, for sharing your answer. And I would like to speak to the little ones and their parents. If the topic might be a little bit difficult, if you have a fruit tree in either in your area or your mommy or your daddy could take you to an area where the fruit trees are there and the fruit falls in the ground. Notice why that is necessary. Jesus was the fruit also that fell in the ground. And without that, there wouldn't be a harvest. So when you want to share this particular topic, the beauty of how sometimes the death of something brings about life, Christ is the main of the die. If he didn't die for us, we wouldn't be able to live, not only in this world, but the Father has sent his Son to die for us, and we also want to go through a spiritual death. But we can't do it on our own, dear ones. We have to ask the Lord to help us. For he is the only one that can be able to give us the strength and the grace to do so. So if you see a tree full of fruit, and you come back in the time when the tree are going through, where the real right one falls on the ground, just remember Jesus. And we have come to the ending of our review, and we are going to continue with favorite poems and thoughts and also special music. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. This thought is taken from a devotional book entitled Lift Him Up, Chapter 9. Lift Him Up as the Healer of the Body and Soul, dated September 19, entitled Hid with Christ in God, pages 276, paragraph 1 through 5. And the opening scripture is taken from Psalms 92, verse 12, King James. And it reads, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Who would like to take the first paragraph of our reading, dear ones? May you unmute your mind.
See the weary traveler toiling over the hot sand of the desert with no shelter to protect him from the rays of the tropical sun. His water supply fails, and he has nothing with which to slake his burning thirst. His tongue becomes swollen. He staggers like a drunken man. Visions of home and friends pass before his mind as he believes himself ready to perish. Suddenly, he sees in the distance, rising out of the dreary, sandy waste, a palm tree, green and flourishing. Hope quickens his pulses. He presses on, knowing that which gives vigor and freshness to the palm tree will cool his fevered blood and give him renewed life. Lift Him Up, page 276, paragraph 2.
As is the palm tree in the desert, a guide and a consolation to the fainting traveler. So the Christian is to be in the world. He is to guide weary souls. Full of unrest and ready to perish in the desert of sin to the living water, he is to point his fellow man to him who gives to all the invitation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Upward Look, 276.
The sky may be as brass, the burning sand may beat about the palm tree's roots and piles up about its trunk. Yet the tree lives on, fresh and vigorous. Remove the sand and you discover the secret of its life. Its roots down deep into the waters hidden in the earth. Lift Him Up, pages 276, paragraph 4.
Thus it is with the Christian. His life is hid with Christ in God. Jesus is to him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. His faith, like the rootless of the palm tree, penetrates beneath the things that are seen, drawing life from the fountain of life. And amid all the corruption of the world, He is true and loyal to God. The sweet influence of Christ's righteousness surrounds him. His influence elevates and blesses. Lift him up. Page 276, paragraph 5.
The humblest and poorest of the disciples of Jesus can be a blessing to others. They may not realize that they are doing any special good, but by their unconscious influence, they may start ways of blessing that will widen and deepen, and the blessed results they may never know till the day of final reward. They are not required to weary themselves with anxiety about success. They have only to go forward quietly, doing faithfully the work God's providence assigns, and their life will not be in vain. Their own souls will be growing more and more into the likeness of Christ. They are workers together with God in this life. Continuing on the next slide, please. And thus fitting for the high work and the unshadowed joy of the life to come. Signs of the Times, August 6, 1902. Lift them up, page 276, paragraph 6.
Reflections. Let us believe in Jesus, trusting him implicitly, although we may be tried as by fire. We may love Christ more and increase our capacity for loving him by contemplating and talking of his love. Cultivate the habit of talking with the Savior alone when walking and working. Let gratitude and thanksgiving ascend to God because Jesus loves you. And you love Jesus, that I may know him. Page 277, paragraph 2.
The Lord Jesus gave himself a sacrifice for us. He knows us and he knows just what we need. Trials last only for a season. Encourage your heart and faith. We must not look on trial as punishment. Christ is the sin bearer. He is our Redeemer, and he desires to purify us from all dross. Continue on the next slide, please. He means to make us partakers of the divine nature, developing in us the peaceable fruits of righteousness. The very fact that we are called upon to endure trials proves that the Lord Jesus sees in us something very precious that he would have developed. If he saw nothing in us whereby we might glorify his name, he would not spend time refining us. We do not take special pains to prune brambles. Christ does not cast valueless stones into his furnace. It is precious ore that he tests. He sees that the refining process will bring out the reflection of his own image. But be trustful, be hopeful, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He loves you. Hear his words. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. He has not passed you by as unworthy of a trial. That I may know him, page 277, paragraph 3. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a Savior. We have a poem entitled Up and Doing, Little Christian. Taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 4, page 104, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number one. Sorry. Up and doing, little Christian. Up and doing while 'tis day. Do the work the Master gives you. Do not loiter by the way, for we all have work before us, you, dear child, as well as I. Let us seek to know our duty and perform it cheerfully.
Up and doing, little Christian. Gentle be and ever kind, helpful to thy loving mother. e'en her slightest wish as mine. Let the little children love you for your care and harmless play, and the feeble and more willful, help them by your kindly way.
Patience, self-control, young Christians, no cross look or angry word. Follow him who died to save you, follow Jesus Christ, your Lord. Help the suffering and needy, help the poor whom Jesus loves, tell the sinner the Savior who still lives to bless above.
Up and doing, little Christian, just trust not to thyself alone, but work out thy own salvation through the blood of Christ, of God's dear Son. Jesus loves you, little Christian. Turn not from his love away, but go forth and do his bidding, up and doing while 'tis day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. And with special music, just a reminder of our lesson, taken from scripture, sing a song in the section God's Love from Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be filled. Blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, they shall be filled. Blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Blessed are they. Matthew chapter 5:6. They shall be filled. Blessed are they. If we have any testimony, we can be able to share it either in between the services or after, because we are a little bit over. So next Sabbath, dear ones, this is the ending of this part 5 of The Lord is Risen. But before we end our study, dear ones, we would like to close with prayer. If we can bow our knees and our head. First, I would like to thank each and every one of you, my dear Remnant family, for praying for our family, for the surgery my father had. Thank you also for praying for our dear brother John, and also praying for our dear brother Isaac from Kenya, and also praying for one another. I ask forgiveness, dear one, for the little blumps that I had in the PowerPoints, but thank you for allowing the Lord to impress to pray for us at this very moment, and also during the time that we had just passed. And we thank God for giving us the strength and the grace to see it through. Father, as we bow before thee, we ask, dear Lord, that you bless each and every one of us here, whatever it is that we are going through, Father Jesus, and you give us the grace to go through it and be thankful, dear Lord, that we are your precious jewel and you are polishing us in ways that we may not truly understand. But we are so grateful that you're finding us worthy. We that are unworthy, Father Jesus, thank you for your love, the love that you have given us and the one that our Heavenly Father has shown all of us. We thank you, Lord. May you continue with us doing the services. Bless the little ones, their mommies and our guests and our speaker. Our dear brother will continue giving us the manna from heaven. We thank you, Savior, for all that you have done for us. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And now this is the slide that I was sharing at the beginning, because I was at the end. I was supposed to take it back up. But next week, by God's grace, we are going to have a new chapter, and the chapter is entitled, Why Weepest Thou? And that will take place on October 12, 2024, and that will be lesson 419, dear ones. Leaving you for the last time, the quote and also the scripture. The scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians 15:57 from the King James Version, and it reads, But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our quote is taken from the Great Controversy, page 469, paragraph 3, and it reads, This work can be accomplished only through faith in Christ, by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Paul admonished believers, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.